Hello and welcome to the Socially Awkward Podcast. I am your host, Calvin Taloki. I am here with the wise pineapple, Christine Trippi. How are you?
I'm amazing. How are you today?
Doing very well, doing very well. I'd like you to know you're one of my first guests on this podcast. One of the first people I thought of when starting a hospitality marketing podcast, because you have such a strong brand in the industry. I think people, you know, absolutely all over the place know who you are. I just got a DM the other day, actually. Someone referenced you being at one of their hotels.
Oh, really?
Doing training. That? Yeah. You know, unfortunately, I don't remember the name, but someone just was in my DMs like, oh, yeah. They responded to something I posted and said, yeah, that wise pineapple lady was talking about this.
That's so funny. Well, first of all, I appreciate you thinking of me, and I'm honored to be one of your first. You always remember your first, Calvin.
You know, in the other person's case, you know, for me, that's not such a great thing.
Yeah, right. But that's such an honor for you to say, because it's so funny because people will reach out to me and I'm just like, how did you know about me? You know, so in my head, I'm just still in my little world. It's funny for me to hear you say that my brand is so well known, you know?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You know, we're both entrepreneurs, and it's, you know, what you're talking about, you kind of just get in the day-to-day of doing what you're doing. And sometimes it takes something like that or a moment where you have to step back and realize, wow, I've kind of come a long way with this. You know, actually, I'll tell a super quick story on that note. Last year, we were doing a photo shoot for some of our clients in New York City. And that was exactly it, right?
I was just
doing the work, right? We needed the content. We offered the photo shoot. We have it to do. And, you know, we're just in the middle of it. And then I was on the rooftop of this hotel, and I'm overlooking 7th Avenue into Times Square. And I just remembered having this moment where the last property I was working at, I helped get this activation together, and I'm running around doing stuff. And my director of sales goes, man, you're really excited about this. You should be in marketing. And it hit me in that moment when we were doing this photo shoot that I was like, I'm doing it. I'm actually doing it now, you know? But when you're going through the motions of building and just doing your work, you're not really thinking about that, but it takes a moment where you're just like, wait, wow. Yeah. I'm actually doing this thing.
Yes. And that's what that moment that you say, this is what makes my heart pound. This is the part that really gets me excited and wants me to not hit snooze. And then when you actually put all the work in and you start doing it, you're just like, I'm here.
Exactly. Yeah. You know,
but so cool. I'm so happy for you.
Yes. Yeah. Ditto. You know, we've for the audience, I think during quarantine, we did a podcast together. I think it was Glenn and Anthony's. Yeah. No Vacancy. Oh, yes. We were No Vacancy together.
Yes. Yes.
That's the first time we interacted, and then met in person in Chicago a couple years later.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Kyle.
Hospitality MD. Yeah, the Hospitality MD guys, shout out to them. And No Vacancy, of course. Mm-hmm. Two of the originators in this hospitality podcast and space.
Yes.
But let's jump into it. Obviously, I've already referenced your brand as the Wise Pineapple. You're one of the most recognized in the industry.
Thank you.
What inspired the name, and how does it reflect on your philosophy about hospitality?
Oh gosh, so much to dig into in that juicy goodness. First of all, so many people will say, did you write the book? Did you start the Wise Pineapple Facebook group? All because you knew this is what you wanted to do. And I wish I could tell people that I am that smart and that strategic. Mm-hmm. I never wanted I never dreamed. I'll say this. I never dreamed of any of the life that I'm living right now. It all happened so organically and truly. I know this sounds so corny, but truly from leading from the heart. I love our industry. I love what I get to do every day. And I just wanted to help people enjoy it too, and share best practices and all of that. Now, there's a long story for how Yes came to be, the book Yes is the Answer. But through my journey of failing It was my biggest failure that brought me to this, mm-hmm. that I was telling my team members, yes is the answer, what is the question? Yet I couldn't right. answer hard no questions that they were getting as well. Mm-hmm. But yet as the leader, I was telling them, yes is the answer. But it's not enough to tell people to say yes. We need to teach them how. And so I got hyper focused on how do you say yes every time? And is it even possible? And mm-hmm. so it was through this journey of discovering how to say yes that I kept after teaching people, everybody would be so overwhelmed with, it's so simple. How can I not have thought mm-hmm. of this before? And I just kept saying, I wish I could share this one thing. If I could share one thing with every service provider, it would be how to stand tall, be empowered, lead from the heart, and say yes. And people kept telling me, you should write a book. I'm like, I can't write a book. I don't know how to write a book. I don't even know how commas work. And so finally, I said yes, and I did it. And I figured maybe 100 people would buy this book. And, you know, my friends and people who know me. But I could say I did it, and I could say I put it into the world. That's all mm-hmm. That was the most dream I had for this book. And now I'm sitting here running my own business, sold thousands of these books. People tell me every week how it's changed their life. My little mm-hmm. book. And I just can't believe that. I mean, I can believe it because I know how it's changed my life. But I mean, it shocks me still. And then once I did publish the book, I started getting calls. Never anticipated any of this. Mm-hmm. I started getting calls. Would you come talk to our team? Would you come talk to our team? And I said, yes. And then I just got to the point where I was like, okay, I'm at a fork in the road and the universe is calling me to do something bigger, to maybe support any industry, any brand, any person out there rather mm-hmm. than just one company. And so as scary as that was, I said yes. And I left Marriott, which I'm telling you, this was maybe the hardest decision because I loved my job. Mm-hmm. I would have done it for free if I was independently wealthy. I really would mm-hmm. have. But I said yes. And here I am 5 years later, still doing it, even got through a pandemic. And here I am. But that's kind of how it all happened. And just a quick backup. Before even the book, I started, when I started supporting 400 hotels across the country, mm-hmm. I would be on the road and I wanted to start a Facebook group of all the leaders that I was supporting as I learned new things and new ideas. I wanted to be sharing those things. So I started the Facebook group for the people who I was supporting. And I wanted to call it the Pineapple Express because I was this hospitality girl on the road. You all know that when you hear Pineapple Express, you think of the weed.
Yeah. Because of that movie. It was, it's an undercoverly funny movie.
Yes. So I knew I couldn't use that one. So I kept thinking, what should I call it? And I said, we're all smart hospitality people. Let's call it the Wise Pineapple.
Although you could have went with Pineapple Express and get people hooked on hospitality.
Oh,
that's what I would have done.
Now that would have been a great angle. And then I could have talked to how you get the weed smell out of your rooms.
That's.
Oh, this is a whole new branch.
Exactly. As you can see, this is a marketing podcast. You know, mm-hmm. I do what I do for a living for a reason.
Yes, I love it. You're awesome.
So something you mentioned there in your intro, which is, you know, a question I've wanted to ask, right? You talked about saying yes a lot. And yes is the answer, obviously, is the name of your book, if we haven't mentioned that already, which I have read, by the way. And I'm not just saying that because Christine is here. It is a great book. And when I finished it, I literally said, every operations manager I've ever worked with needs to read this book.
Yeah.
This is mandatory reading. But, you know, saying yes, I'm sure if I put my ops hat on right now, you know, people will say, well, yes can't always be the answer because guests ask ridiculous questions. How do you go about talking about that balance between empowering, you know, it, your employees to say yes, but also setting boundaries at, as far as customer service.
I love this question. And I will even challenge people, even you, Calvin, today, and say, I don't think there's been a question yet that I haven't been able to come up with a yes. Mm-hmm. What I love to tell people is there is a yes for everything. There's always a next yes. But the problem is, it's the anxiety of the confrontation that gets the better of us and biology takes over. Mm. People aren't saying no because they're lazy or don't care or they're Gen Z. They're saying no because of biology. But we can build the muscle to beat biology. So what happens is someone says, can I get an upgrade? I'm platinum. And you're all sold out and you really don't have quote unquote upgrades. So you might get immediate anxiety over having to say, no, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we're in a sold out situation. Instead, the first step in yes is the answer is to pause and make friends first. Before answering any question, pause and get your brain out of that anxiety. Mm-hmm. If we can just build the muscle to pause, we can stop ourselves from the automatic no, because once you say no, it's over. It's now it becomes me against you instead of us against the situation. See where we move there? Mm-hmm. So when you can pause and make friends first, what happens chemically? Your brain immediately, when you make that friend, you come out of the anxiety and it goes right to the heart. Now that you've connected, you've relaxed, and now you really want to find that yes. For example, the upgrade question. Where we get stuck is we think an upgrade is only a suite. Mm. I cross the country and I'll ask every front desk person, what is an upgrade at your hotel? Number one answer, king suite. But change the mindset. An upgrade is added value. Anything you dream up can be an upgrade if you articulate the added value you're offering. So now with that opening up, anything can be an upgrade. And so we can, oh, congratulations on your platinum status. Thank you for choosing us. Today, how I'd love to honor your status and celebrate your status is a complimentary cocktail. That's going to make me happy. It's going to be a marketing item. It could be a bottle of water. It could be a room with a microwave and a beautiful view of the sunset. You've got to know what's in your toolbox. And great leaders help their team know what's in their toolbox.
That's a great point. And as a former revenue manager, you know, I said no a lot. No was pretty much the only thing in my toolbox. But, you know, we would always challenge our, you know, our sales teams, our ops teams, you know, this is what we need as far as a rate or whatever it is. But how do we get there creatively? You know, what else can we offer them? You know, okay, we can't lower the rate, but can we add breakfast? Can we add, you know, an upgrade for the VIP, something else to show value as opposed to lowering that rate that's going to hinder us financially.
Exactly. And I'll let you know that so many yeses have actually increased revenue. So I'm going to give you a quick example of this one. The rollaway bed. We're moving into summer months and you're going to get those rollaway bed requests. Now, what most team members will do, they'll go immediately right to the law or the rule. So most team members are going to say, oh, I'm sorry, unfortunately, the fire code won't let them in. Guess what, everyone? Nobody gives a crap what you can't do. We waste so much time saying, no, I'm sorry, unfortunately, because of the law or the rule or my operational woes. Nobody cares. Tell them what you can do. That's step number two. So go right to what you can do. Make friends first and then tell them what you can do. So in this time, oh, thank you so much for letting me know how I can enhance your visit. I see you've got the family here. You've got the little ones. What are their names? Make friends. Connect. Build a rapport. Now you're friends. Now you're like, okay. Now I'm going to be honest with you. This was one of my early on challenges. And it was a young family. They had little kids. And I said, how about we make a pillow fort? And they're like, okay, we made a pillow fort and we made it so much fun and they loved it. Then from there, I started getting more creative. And then I found these little teepees that I bought for $15 each. And now I created an enhancement package, a campout package. And it came with snacks and it came with a little Fisher-Price campfire and s'mores. And we started selling it. Now we gave it away free when we needed to, but we also sold these enhancement packages. Our go-to answer when people would ask for a late checkout, we would say, oh, thank you for letting us know how we can enhance your stay. Make friends. Then we'd say, we can extend a 1 o'clock complimentary checkout, or if you'd like to stay until 3 o'clock, it'll only be $59 or whatever it is we were selling it for that day.
Mm-hmm.
We sold late checkout every day.
Smart.
So yes, can be very revenue enhancing. It's just about getting creative. The thing is, we stop at no, but there's so many yeses.
Yeah.
I got to give you one more.
Go for it. Yeah.
I can talk about yes all day long. Okay. Today with technology, it's even easier to say yes for everything. Something I do, because I'm a stinker, I'll go into a hotel. I'm in a hotel every week and I'll say, oh, I ran my nylons. Do you have any nylons in your market? Now, of course they don't. It's not 1987. But if our leaders in our hotels had set our teams up with the tools, maybe we have an Instacart account. And maybe I say, I can have you some new nylons or a new iPhone cord or a new mouse for your laptop. I forgot my mouse at home. Whatever a guest dreams up that they need, I can have it here in 30 minutes. We'll just place it right on your room. Does that work for you? Do you see how you could be saying yes all day long when you set your team members up to say yes? Now, here's the golden ticket, the pineapple golden ticket. Team members who show up to work to say no all day long, no, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, unfortunately, no, I'm sorry, unfortunately. They don't go home going, oh, I love my job. They go home going, oh, work drained me.
Mm-hmm.
When you as a leader can set your front line up to stand tall, say yes, and deliver and lead from the heart, they go home going, I love what I get to do. They're going to love their jobs. You're going to retain your team. They're going to grow in our industry where people are leaving in droves because they were tired of getting beat up.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is how we revolutionize our industry. And absolutely. I really believe that. I'm just not hawking what I'm selling.
Well, you know, I've always maintained it comes down to leadership in pretty much everywhere. But obviously, we talk about our industry and, you know, you and I have both seen it firsthand. When the leadership is not there, you have people that are, you know, just kind of, you know, going through the motions. And, you know, this is why we have so much turnover in this industry, because we don't train people properly. They go out there to get beat up by the public. This is not easy. What we do every day dealing with the public is not an easy thing to do. And then, you know, they get tired of that and they move on to something else. But without ever realizing all of the abundant opportunities that are in this industry, because they just got beat up for 6 months and decided to move on, you know.
You know what, Calvin? This gives me another idea. If I may so give one more example, if I'm being really honest, I wrote that book more for the team member that is under a no leader to show them how they still can be empowered even though they've got a no leader. Because there's a lot of no leaders out there. Yeah. And this came up when I first took over. I was the director of fun at Key Lime Cove Water Resort. Mm-hmm. And we could just do, I set all the fun up. It was yes everywhere. You know, it was like Savannah Bananas over there at the Key Lime Cove. It was amazing. But then I moved into the courtyard as the general manager. And now we've got all the brand rules and all the rules. So I remember being at the bistro. And one of my bistro servers, I overheard her, a guest asked for an omelet. And she said, oh, no, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, we don't have omelets on the menu. Well, I let the transaction happen. But afterwards, I said, hey, Katina, I noticed that you said no. That's a tough one. Let's talk about that. You know, why couldn't we make omelets? We have eggs, we have tomatoes, we have onions, scallions. And she said, Christine, no. The brand told us that we are not allowed to do that. Because if we say yes here, we're going to set the other courtyards up for failure. And I'm like, okay, I get it. I'm still a yes girl. I would have done it. Mm-hmm. But I said, this is a great point. And I appreciate that you're trying to do what's right for the brand and keep us on brand. But we also want to take care of the guests. And I can see how right. that's hard. So let me ask you, on our menu, what's the closest thing to an omelet? She's looking. She says, a morning scramble. I'm like, absolutely. So what if when that guest says, can I get an omelet, saying, oh, I love an omelet too. How about a morning scramble? And if you'd like, we can put in tomatoes, scallions, cheese, a turkey, mm-hmm. right? And now I've just made $2 extra.
Right.
I know I'm talking that coconut language with that extra money. But do you see? And then she's like, oh my gosh. So I just taught her how she could say yes and stay within the rules
right.
and in the brand.
Right.
So there's always a yes, but when we start with no, we never get there.
Right.
I hope that helps that person out there that's got a no leader.
There's a good bunch of them watching right now that are like taking furious notes.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. Because it truly is that easy. It truly is that easy. Absolutely. Then there's a few more steps in there. There are two more steps in there and whatnot. But I also, as you mentioned, have a podcast and I launched the podcast really diving into yes. So mm-hmm. even if you didn't want to buy the book or you're not a reader, you can always tune into that and get a good feeling for what that's like.
Fantastic. Well, you're giving us a lot of tips here. And obviously this has helped you transform hotels into award-winning properties. What are the first three actions that you take when stepping into a struggling hotel?
I love that you asked this question because this is something that if you are listening right now, if you've got distracted or you're multitasking, I want you to come back to me for a minute because this can change your life. So can obviously, yes, but this can change your life. And this is not just to turn around a failing hotel. Any goal that you have, from relationships to weight loss to career to staffing, any goal that you have, I have it in a 5-step formula. And the first 3 steps are the main thing. So I'll just quickly review what this is. First is your vision. I have done hundreds of property deep dives with teams that are in the red zone. And when I come in, one of the first things I'll ask is, okay, what is the goal? Where do we want to be? And a lot of times I'll get 65. Maybe they're currently at 50 or, you know, they kind of just pull a, like, okay, if I were to ask every team member in your hotel what the goal is, would they all know what that goal is? No, because he just made it up. He or she just made it up. Right. And this is the thing. You can't win if you don't know the goal. You don't have a vision of what the goal is and how you impact the goal, you just show up and react to everything that happens to you all day long.
Mm-hmm.
It starts with the vision. And the other thing you do here is you invite your team into a story. You invite them in to create this vision. And now we're all on this journey to this vision together. Now we've all got one thing holding us together. And then when you share how each of them contributes to that goal, and then you start celebrating with them each little win, you're doing it together. You're inviting them in on the story. Now there's a lot more I can elaborate on, but I'll try to keep this quicker. So vision is number one. What is the goal? Could be revenue goal, could be ADR, could be, you know, guest metrics. What is the goal? When I took over the courtyard, my very first goal, we are going to be number one on TripAdvisor. We are going to be number one on TripAdvisor. And I mm-hmm. remember them going, oh, honey, that's never going to happen. I said, oh, we will. And I believe in, and I'm going to show you how you should believe. And we did it less than 6 months. So having the goal, if we didn't have the goal, We would have just showed up every day and just try to get through the day. Okay.
Exactly.
Well, that's your first one. Second one is your strategy. I ask every leader, why aren't you at the goal? You said, okay, you know, 77 is my goal. Why aren't you there? Well, we need a renovation. Well, we're by the airport. It's noisy. Well, our building's 30 years old. When I get those answers, I know that we're focused on uncontrollable things. We don't have control over those things. Right. And when you focus on that, you're a victim. The four main buckets in your hotel that you have control over are your cleanliness, friendliness, maintenance, and culture. Do people love coming to work? This is where your power lies. So I'll worry about your renovation comments in your GSS when we're the cleanest, when we're the friendliest, and we're the most maintained, and people love to come to work. This is where our power lies. Let's focus here. This is where all our plans are going to be made. Then third, it's the plan. How do you win every day, week, and month? Now, you might think, okay, by the end of the wave or end of the year, I want to be at this metric. However, between now and then, it's so long it gets lost. If you're losing weight, cupcakes pop up every week.
I know that struggle.
Yes, I do too. The thing is, we need to know how I win today. If I set a plan that I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and I can say today I did it, check, 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 I won the day. And if I keep winning day after day, it's going to lead me to the big goal.
Absolutely.
It's that simple. But we get so overwhelmed with everything we have. But if you just line it up, the goal, the strategy, what's in my control, and then the plan, how do I win every day? Boom. Boom. Now I have a 5-step process and I have a little download. I'll give that to you to put in your show notes that anybody who wants that they can line up any goal through that.
I love it. Love it.
Yes. Yes.
Free gifts for the audience.
Yeah. I love to give away.
Absolutely. Fantastic. So I know, we'll educate the audience now, but you have something called the Crown Society, which is a sneaky insider club of Wise other pineapples in the industry.
Yes, because they're empowered.
Tell us a little bit of what that is and how that fits into your overall marketing plan, but also what gap in the industry were you looking to fill with that membership?
Well, thank you. Thank you so much for bringing this up, because how many of you out there are in a role that you were never trained for? You did a really good job in the role you were in before, and they said, hey, you should be leading the team. But you never were taught how to do that. You were never taught how to do those things. And this is all of our story in hospitality. We all moved up because we were good at what we were doing, and whether we were ready or not, but we figured it out because we're awesome.
Right.
But what if you had strategy? What if you had someone who's been there, made the mistakes, and can share that learning so that you can speed your career along without making all those same mistakes? That's why I created the Crown Society. To work with me and hire me to be a keynote, whatnot, it ranges from $5,000 to $20,000. And I know the person I really want to help is that GM, that AGM that's just trying to get through their day and reach their goals and things like that. And so that's why I created this group coaching program club, so that it's a very affordable way and I deliver so much value to them. So just quickly, you know how we just talked about goals? Every month, the first week of the month, we do goal setting. Every leadership book you would ever read will tell you to set goals and to write it down, pen to papers, where the magic happens. But none of us do it, because we're all by ourselves and we're busy and we don't take the moment to just sit down for an hour and do it. Well, when someone's leading you through it and you've got other friends coming to the same goal setting session, it makes it easy. Every month, the first week of the month, we do goal setting. What do we want to get accomplished this month? It gets us hyper focused and strategized. So then we do that. The second week of the month, I do a masterclass from coaching to sales to operations to revenue management to rooms preventative maintenance. I do a masterclass. And then everything's recorded, so it's in the library. So today I just did a GSS deep dive, a guest love deep dive with one of my Crown Society people. And one of the biggest takeaways was problem resolution. It was the lowest metric on their guests. And she wasn't aware of this. I said, inside the library is the Let's Empower Masterclass. Watch this. You're going to be amazed at what's going to happen. So, I mean, and that's how I'm able to help them. And when you start, you fill out a little quiz and I tell you where you should begin. Then the third week is Q&A. Dial in, ask me any questions. Let me get you through your blocks. And then the last week we do Block and Shine, which is where it's co-working. We just dial in. I'm going to get this off my desk before the month ends and we get it done. That's just a little snapshot. But the biggest benefit of this club is our network. Just last week, I think it was, somebody on the weekend posted in our community, we have a full house and the water went out. And I'm looking for ideas. We're just spinning right now. And everybody came with ideas and best practices. And she was able to really turn around a negative situation. She saved so many surveys. So there's just so many examples of that. I'll give you one more example. Katie, who left the Crown Society because she changed industries, she changed jobs and everything. And then she came back and she was in a real depressive funk. She was not in a good hire, if you will. The new position she took wasn't what she dreamed it would be. And she's like, and then it hit me. I need my people. And she's like, I'm so happy I'm back with all of you. And she's growing again. We helped her. We got her a new job. Not that we got her now. She got her new, but we helped networking. Her with all that and supported her through that. And I probably make a tenth of what I do keynoting. And it probably takes 80% of my time. But it's so rewarding for me to help these leaders achieve their goals that's why I do it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, that, you know, you talk about the power of community and networking, and that's how this all happened, you know?
Yeah. And Calvin, let me share one more thing. Sure. I think this is one of my solo podcasts I just did. It might have even come out this week. There's ideas. I call it the idea fairy everywhere. You look on any social media platform from TikTok to Insta to LinkedIn to all those things, YouTube, on ideas. It has all of us spinning. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's a good idea. Oh, that's a good idea. Nobody needs another idea. They need implementation. Because energy times execution equals your results. You don't get good results from having a new idea and watching a new TikTok. You get results by implementing the ideas. And that's what we really do in the Crown Society. We get shit done.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Yeah. Not enough shit getting done in this industry. So yes. We like to hear
it. And no wonder that everyone's crippled, though, because the idea fairy is everywhere.
Yeah, right.
It's how do I get it done?
Right. You know, in the revenue world, this analysis paralysis, right? You just look at all of this data and then you're stuck. Well, it could be this, it could be that. And it's a real thing. I've gone through it. I would, you know, identify myself as an overthinker when it comes to things like that. You know, if you look at it this way and we go this way, this may happen. Sometimes you've just got to, you know, at some point you just got to pull the trigger.
A decision. Yes.
Right. We make a decision and, you know, deal with the fallout one way or another. So absolutely. Yes. Well, as we talked about in the beginning, you do workshops and masterclasses, which you've just mentioned. You may have touched on this a little bit. I want to give you the opportunity to talk about how they differ from traditional hospitality training programs and what feedback you've gotten from your participants.
Well, I love that too. What I could say is to be kind, you know, as an entrepreneur, I'm learning all of this, you know, how to run a, build a brand and run a business and all that. And I've been looking out for people who offer, you know, classes and things like that. And most of the time I show up and it's a lot of the what and the why, not the how. And that really upsets me. Like, I just wasted my valuable time and I didn't get anything from this, really. You're telling me, you tell me the what and the why to get me to maybe buy something more or whatnot. I'm not even sure what their end goal is. I want to help people. So this is what I love about what I share. Everything I share is because I failed at it and I learned a better way that truly got me award-winning proven results. And everything is so simple. Everything I do, like the Wise Pineapple, is to stand tall and be confident, to wear your crown and be empowered, and to be sweet and lead from the heart. Every masterclass starts with mindset. The number one reason we're not succeeding is we've got the wrong mindset. How many of you think, oh, soccer team is coming? Oh, they're basic and they just want an upgrade. They're basic. All of these things, we got the Bridezilla, we've got the leisure guests, we've got the summer travel, we've got the Swifties coming in. If we change our mindset, we change our results. Every masterclass starts with changing the mindset. Then the empowerment, real world how to implement, and with tools, and they're all simple. They're all simple. I have this handy. Hold on, I gotta share this with you. This was my Restore and More masterclass, which is all about maintenance. Okay. This was a testimonial from one of my Crown Society insiders. Literally, where do you come up with this stuff? It's so common sense. I feel like I should have thought about this. My mind is blown. You are next level. And love it's just it. Simple things, but we never take the time to stop and strategize and think about why things are like that. Right. And truly, everything I've learned is because I failed at it and I learned a better way.
That is very true. Yeah, and sometimes just by getting back to basics, right?
Yes. You know,
what's we have a saying, what's most likely to happen? You know, we can get in the weeds. Again, I'm just using, you know, either revenue background or even with what I'm doing now in marketing, is you can just start to kind of overthink, hey, you know, how do we get more followers? How do we do this or that? And just let's get back to basics. You know, media, what I always say is social media, think about what it was there for in the beginning. It's just two people connecting. It's you connecting with your friends. It started, at least in, you know, my generation, was MySpace. You started out and you had your top five friends, connect with people, you know, that you maybe hadn't seen, or you live in different states or something like that. At the end of the day, that's what we're trying to convey. With any sort of, you know, social media campaigns or marketing, you're trying to reach people. So, you know, just get back to that basic.
Yes. And and that's the thing, I think, in the marketing piece. Even if you're a general manager just trying to market, your place is a great place to work.
Right.
We often start with I, and it's about us. Like, oh, our team did this and we had this great event, whatnot. But if you start with you, if you really think when you're putting something out on social media, it's what you're putting out there is not to highlight you, it's to give something to the person that might read it.
Read, exactly.
So always think about starting with you. Have you ever experienced a great work party? Here's what we did. Always engage them with connecting with them first.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And you may have just answered the question. So my final question, so I'll switch it up a little bit on you.
Okay.
You know, we're talking about marketing and branding, and obviously you've mentioned that you have your own podcast, clearly have a strong personal brand. What advice would you give to hospitality? Let me ask that again. What advice would you give to hospitality leaders who are looking to start their own podcast or develop a strong personal brand? And so they can share their own personal expertise.
I absolutely love this question, because the Yes Show, my podcast, is all about saying yes to life, not just to customers, but to yourself, to life. And I just did an interview with someone that he was just so filled with life yeses. He was such an inspiration to all the people. I gotta move my hair down there. He was such an inspiration. And when you open yourself up to new opportunities and new things, there's no losing here. Even if it's a flop and you hated it, you learned that you don't like that. Yeah. That's one way you don't like. Mm-hmm. The opening yourself up to meeting people, conversations, talking to people. I learned something from every guest, and they're a new connection. So there's only wins there. Mm-hmm. And you learn about how things operate. And, oh, I never knew about this. And I've learned I should have my microphone here instead of way over there. You know, you just learn so much. Mm-hmm. And so I say yes. Now, the first thing, if you are thinking about going solo like Calvin and I have, or if you're thinking about starting some kind of side hustle or a podcast, the first thing I would ask myself is, what problem do I solve? And then how do I uniquely solve it? That is the first question that I would want you to ask yourself. What problem do I solve and how do I uniquely solve it? If you can answer those two questions, you've just laid out your brand, right, Calvin?
Mm-hmm.
And because if you know how you help people, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. And that gives you your purpose. That gives you your mission. That gives you everything. What problem do I solve and how do I solve it uniquely?
Absolutely. And I'll ask one follow-up to that.
Okay.
Because I'm sure you've been there. I know I've been there. When somebody is ready to take this step, what advice would you give them about any hesitations to start a podcast, write a book, or whatever it is that they're looking to do?
Well, again, I'll say yes, because every time you say yes, you can change the world. And sometimes that world is yours. This book has changed my entire life. And I was so afraid to put it out there. What if people think it's stupid? What if it's not, you know, a quality book? What if I have a typo? You have no idea to go out on that level of a scale, to put myself out there that high. How terrified I was. And I actually got some hard feedback in the beginning, but he was the wrong audience. I was placing all the positive comments on this one person. And when I realized that, I shelved it. I'm like, who do I think I am? I can't do this. I shelved it until something inspired me again and I got it done. But I just say yes, because even when you fail, you take that learning and you fail forward. So if you have a dream out there, if you asked 100 people about something that they said yes to and what they regret or whatnot, the number one regret is I waited to do this. I'm sitting here at 55, 56, I think I am, 56 years old, and I'll tell you that. And I've got so much in me that I still want to do. And I keep thinking, okay, I got to get it done because you know what? I might be running out of time. Mm-hmm. I'm still young, but I really think that I think I wish I had done this 10 years ago. I've got so much more I want to give and learn and grow into. So
that just is always the thing. That's always the thing. You wish you started before, you know, quick story for me, I've run into this recently outside of, you know, work and business and everything. I've always wanted to learn how to play the drums. And it's always one day. Mm. And then I actually was walking past the school that School of Rock actually is a real thing.
Yes.
I didn't know that. I thought it was just a movie, you know, but apparently there's a chain of places called School of Rock that teaches kids mostly how to play instruments. And I walked past and I was like, I'm just going to do it, you know? And I can tell you, it's one of these things that I'm like, I really wish I'd started doing this before, you know, like you have so much fun. I'm having so much fun doing it. I'm learning. And it's just like pure joy, honestly, when I'm doing it. And I'm like, man, if I'd have started this 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, right. how much did I miss out on? You know what I mean? So yes. you'll never regret getting started on something that you want to do.
Yes. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out.
Yeah. I could have hated it and then I'd do something else. with my time.
Yes. And another thing that I talk to people about when they're really afraid to do something, you know, I just did this with myself. I just did my first TEDx talk, and I'm really proud, but I was flipping nervous. I'm on stages every week, but this made me so nervous. So I was so in my head because it's being filmed and it's going to be on this platform and there's just so much riding on it. One thing you can do if there's something you want to do, but you're afraid and you keep getting to the what ifs, then what I want you to do is write out what if, and then write that worst fear. What if I forget my lines right there up on stage? What is the worst thing that can happen? And then what could you do? What could you do if you did that? I could ad lib. I could laugh and say, you know what, everybody? I just forgot where I was. yeah, I mean, that's the worst thing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, when you write it out, you go, I could live through that. And then pretty soon, it's not so scary. I did that with my book. I did that starting a business. I did that with the TED Talk just 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I was just so in my head. I said, let's do the what ifs.
Right.
And I did it. And I want you to know, this has never happened to me before. Maybe I conjured it. I did blank out. And at one point, I didn't know where I was or what my next line was or where I was. But I totally flubbed over it and nobody knew. So when the TED Talk comes out, I want you to watch it and see if you can tell.
Okay. Yeah. First audience challenge. We're going to watch it and send me in the timestamp when you think Christine tripped out.
So you know what? The worst happened and it was fine. Nobody even knew because nobody knows what I'm going to say.
That is true. You're the only one who knows what you're doing up there.
Right.
Well, this has been a pleasure. It's fantastic to talk to you as always. Let the audience know where they can find you. Obviously, this is a social and marketing podcast, so give them all your handles.
Instagram, I'm the_wise_pineapple, and then Christine Trippi on LinkedIn. LinkedIn's a great place to connect with me, especially if you're a hotelier. The website is thewisepineapple.com. And the Crown Society, which you can get to through the website, is open right now this week. The doors open and close. But any listener that hears this and is interested in that, at any time you hear this, just reach out to me and I'll get you a little tour through there. I'll tell you about it. And maybe we'll get you a backdoor key.
Love it. Love it.
And the TED Talk is coming out next month. And my goal is to share yes with 1 million people. So if you're out there, I would love for you to watch the TED Talk, share, comment it, and help me share yes with 1 million people.
That's it. We've got the goal. Love to hear. Yes. Love it.
Yes. There's the goal.
There it is. Well, thank you very much for joining. And thank you, audience, for listening and watching. And we will see you on the next one.
Yes. Bye.